The eyes of the soccer world are on Seattle this week for the Copa America tournament. On Tuesday, a diverse crowd poured into CenturyLink Field to watch the number one national team, Argentina, take on Bolivia. Tonight, the U.S. men's team plays here in Seattle in a quarterfinal match. Millions are expected to tune in, and that's just here in the U.S. But Seattle is also in the global spotlight over American soccer's white privilege issue. KUOW's David Hyde has the story.
Seattleite Doug Andreasen loves soccer like you love ice cream. He's the former president of Washington Youth Soccer, and these days he chairs U.S. Soccer's Diversity Task Force. And that job has gotten him into some hot water this month with some U.S. soccer fans. He featured prominently in a Guardian article with the headline, "It's Only Working for the White Kids."
I have received a lot of email back from people, and I've received a lot of hate mail back from people as well. How dare you make this accusation? How dare you put this in headlines? And I say, let's talk about it.
Andreasen's job is to help clubs and players of all backgrounds become better integrated into U.S. soccer for two big reasons. One is to make the United States more competitive in the world's game. And the second goal is equity. But Andreasen says there's a lot of work to do, including here in Washington State.
We've had games where a Hispanic team has played a Caucasian team, where the referees have told us, the Spanish coach, you need to speak English. That's not in the handbook.
Andreasen's got a lot of stories like that, and he told me it's time for U.S. soccer to make some big changes.
In soccer, the top of the game is called the World Cup, and the United States men's team has not done very well in the World Cup. With a nation of 330-plus million people, you would think that at some point the United States should be able to win the World Cup. And what this change will be is will allow us to get players that have more creativity on the field that will ultimately make it to the men's and women's team, you know, to win the World Cup. We have the same issue in the women's game as we do the men's game, by the way. You look at the last, look at our world champions we have of members from Seattle, by the way. But look at the last picture when they won the World Cup. Does that picture represent America? I would say no.
Why is it so important that U.S. soccer looks like America?
America is diverse. And I think it's critical that we knock on the door of white privilege. And that's what we're talking about in our program as well, as white privilege.
Okay, so that's what you're hoping to change when it comes to the men's and women's U.S. national teams. But what about just the problem locally, especially here in Washington State? What are you seeing out there? What are the obstacles to that kind of change happening?
We started with a team that was in Tacoma, for example. They are called South Tacoma United. It was a team put together by a local coach, local community leader named Tony Enchez. He called me up and he said, I've got a team of 12 or 13 kids. We happen to be all Hispanic at this point in time. This was now 7 years ago. How do we play in Washington Youth Soccer's leagues? What do we have to do? And I said, well, you got to join a club. And he goes, what club do I have to join? And then the odyssey began, as I called it. So as that team began to go through the system and find a club to play for, they found they couldn't find a club to play for a lot of reasons. One, the clubs weren't very accepting of Hispanics in this case. They would give him information that would be all in English, and yet he had difficulty with English. He could certainly speak, but he had difficulty reading it. So whether he had league instructions or he had emails, that would come in English, and he said, can you give it to me in Spanish? Let's start there. And it became very, very difficult for this gentleman to get his one team together. Today, I'm proud to say, 7 years later, he's got about 26 teams, mostly Hispanic in his club now, that we've been able to assist and help through the system. So as I look at what I do for the underserved community, I always keep in mind this particular club that's down in Tacoma.
What are some of the other obstacles? There's the language challenges. What about money?
Absolutely. Money is probably one of the prime things. What we find many times, and we'll just talk about the Hispanics right this minute for the underserved population, because it's the largest population in the United States behind Caucasians. And many of these parents are immigrants to this country, and they're working one, two, sometimes three jobs, and they don't have the income to pay for club fees for their kids to play sports. Could be from $1,000 up to $5,000, depending on the size of the club and the elite level that they might play. That's just team fees, and that pays for coaches, by the way, is what it pays for. It doesn't pay for fields in many cases, so they have to go out and rent fields in addition to that. So there's additional fees for field rental, additional fees for referees. Referees don't referee for free. If the team travels any distance, whether it be from Tacoma to Seattle or Seattle to Spokane, you have travel fees involved with that, whether it be gas or lodging, whatever it might be. So it becomes a very wide block for these, a disparity for these kids to play soccer.
This is a barrier for kids playing not just in Washington State but all over the country. How do you turn that around at U.S. Soccer?
Well, that's a million-dollar question. And many times, a lot of the fields that kids play on across this country are on school fields. So when we find we go to school districts, we find that there's a lower fee that they can pay for the field use, providing that they can demonstrate the fact that they're from the underprivileged community. And the referees as well. What we have said the referee communities, we said we also need some discounts for referees. And, you know, in the case of Hispanics, you can speak Spanish on the field. But it's not just the Hispanics. We have a large Somalian community up in South Everett. They have the same problems that the Hispanics do. Just happens to be a different culture is what it happens to be. So what we're really talking about here is equity. We want social equity for soccer across the board.
That's Doug Andreasen. He's from Washington State, and he chairs U.S. Soccer's Diversity Task Force. The United States men's team plays tonight in Seattle in a quarterfinal match against Ecuador. They're hoping to get through to the semifinal, but nobody really expects them to win the Copa America tournament. Not this year, anyway. I'm David Hyde, KUOW News.